This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Can you describe the ruckus, sir?
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Wednesday afternoon, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us and making sure your electronic devices are on silent and airplane mode.
Yeah, I accidentally hit a button on my phone when I was putting it down and it just popped up. My goodness gracious.
Oh, it happens. Trust me, I know. It's a day that ends in Y. So Jerry Jones is doing something crazy. Jane Slater, who has covered the Cowboys for a very long time, has come with the goods. Come with the goods as it pertains to the Cowboys' search for a new head coach. And one of the things that just kind of jumps off the page is she is reporting that Jerry Jones himself is leading the head coaching search.
Yeah, and he's on a solo mission. So after going on Landman and giving that speech, which I don't watch that show, but I've seen the speech about how great it is to work with your kids and it's how it's been the most rewarding part of his life. He's literally saying, F them kids. I am going to lead this search by myself.
This is very, can I make a comparison?
Sure.
It's Pat Riley-esque. I'm old. I've won. I'm going to go out my way. I think the impending doom stuff of life ending is over both of those very successful individuals.
Yeah, Jerry has a lot more crazy than Pat.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing, yeah. But I'm saying I think because we're getting reports that the while Jimmy's going to return to the Heat, they're looking at more punitive measures. Like they don't care. Like they're scorching the bridges. They're getting carried out on their shields. Like, yeah. They're going to do it their way.
And there's very few people that we know that have even been talked to or approached about this, because in 48 hours, it's only been Jerry and Jerry alone. So every name that's been thrown out there has been pure speculation, with the exception of Deion Sanders, who has had a conversation with Jerry Jones.
Which, again, tightening my tinfoil hat, after watching the way all of the ESPN folks were talking about it, it feels like that's the path they're going to go down. I can be wrong. I absolutely could be wrong, but the spidey sense is tingling. The antennas are up. The tinfoil's tight. Whatever euphemism you want to use, it feels like old Jira wants to go back to the glory days one more time.
They need to do what they did with Johnny Manziel. Stop him from handing that card over that says Johnny Manziel. Stop him from handing that contract over that says Deion Sanders, because the mess that they would then create. Just think of the ripple effect of that.
Because that means you're going to trade Dak. You're going to
trade Dak. Have to move up with that trade of Dak. You're going to have to eat a bunch of salary cap. You're going to have Shedeur Sanders in. And then you're probably going to have Shiloh on the team as well, because he's in the draft this year.
No, undrafted practice squad.
You're going to waste one of your 53 spots on Shiloh. You're firing your digital team because Deion Jr.'s got to have 100%. A gig.
And it turns into a LaVar Ball situation where, like, you're just trying to get your kids paid.
But at the same time, LaVar's been really successful. He's got two kids that have gotten paid.
Oh, they've gotten paid. But
third that is making music now and getting paid doing that.
But have they helped any of the teams that they've been a part of?
Lonzo's the one. The beginning,
but
yeah,
the injuries, which you don't hold against him. But LaMelo's out there. You know he's leading the All-Star voting because the ballots are being stuffed in China?
No.
Yeah.
He's big in China.
Oh, his signature shoe is the number one selling shoe outside the country.
Really?
It's the YouTube highlight culture stuff. China loves him, which is kind of insane because East Coast teams are harder for China because obviously of the time difference, and yet that can't get enough of him.
Really?
Can't get enough of him.
Well, both Deion and LaVar have done a phenomenal job of making sure their
all-time
kids are successful.
Bag-getters.
And look, the reality of it is Dallas needs a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Right? Even though they have one on their roster, they need one cheaper. You're going to have to bite the bullet on the Dak contract if you do go down this route, and you're going to have a bunch of dead cap money, a la the Denver Broncos.
I mean, you probably need to do that anyways.
Shedeur is the best, one of, if not the best quarterbacks in this draft. He probably is the best, but he's got his flaws, and I think that is more indicative of what this quarterback class looks like. I'm not as high on Cam Ward as everybody else is because you see the roller coaster, the dips that he has in college every single year. Those are going to be more exacerbated when he gets to the NFL. Not to say that Shador's propensity to take sacks that should not be taken instead of throwing an incompletion, but I think that was largely to try to get his completion percentage up so he was more attractive for teams to draft him because teams are that dumb. But in the NFL, you've got to live to play another down. Sacks are drive killers. Shador took a lot of them. Was his offensive line great? No, it wasn't. But we've seen a lot of quarterbacks take far fewer sacks with worse offensive lines than what Shador Sanders had at Colorado. They went and they would always pass the buck and put the blame on somebody else. A lot of those sacks were Shador's fault. But if you're Jerry Jones and you're going to make a hire in the National Football League, one of the biggest problems that college coaches have in going to the NFL is the fact that players in the NFL locker rooms don't respect him. Guys are going to respect Deion, but how long does it go for if he is playing the nepotism card? Because that may have flown in college. It ain't going to fly in an NFL locker room. He's going to have to hold Shador just as accountable as everybody else in that room.
Yeah, I just don't. There's not a shortcut through hell they can take.
No.
It's going to be painful no matter what. And I guess here, let me play devil's advocate on this. If it's going to be painful no matter what, why not just hit that dopamine high of nostalgia, baby, as you're driving that truck through hell?
Yeah, he's going to die without getting that Super Bowl if this is the road they go down.
Well, I mean,
probably going to do it regardless.
That's kind of what I mean. And if that's the case, why not strap the nitrous to the car?
Just go YOLO?
And just pedal down.
All right.
Flags out the window.
Okay, well, that's
America, freedom.
You tell me. I'm going to read you some names that have been rumored with this job, and mm-hmm. you tell me, is Deion the best of these mm-hmm. options? Eagles offense coordinator Kellen Moore.
Hard pass.
Commanders offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury.
Hard pass.
High school head coach Jason Witten.
Stuff him in a can and shoot him into the sun.
Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian.
God, no.
Pete Carroll.
Vibes be all time high. You could talk me into that.
John Gruden.
Different kind of vibes. Could be an S. Like, there's three viable candidates there, in my opinion. And I can't believe I'm saying this. Gruden is one of them.
Why can't you believe that?
Well, I mean, because of what happened.
The lawsuit?
Yeah. I mean,
Brian Flores is in this coaching cycle, yeah. too. Lawsuits be damned.
Well, I mean, he's
suing the NFL. Yeah,
there was a rumor coming out that Gruden would be open to coming back to the Raiders and Mark Davis would welcome him back. And I'm like, well, I guess, you know, even though he did get fired, he did get paid. And it wasn't the Raiders that really mad at him. It was really the NFL that was mad at Gruden.
Dan Snyder having all the stuff leaked, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay, you know, maybe you come back on that. But, like, and I can't even say this, like, the John Gruden, like, culture stuff, the Pete Carroll culture stuff, and the Deion Sanders nostalgia. Like, all three of those coaches know how to whip up the circus, too.
I honestly, like,
I think that's a big part of it.
This is a weird thing for me to say because of how old he is. I think the best option for the Cowboys would be Pete Carroll.
Because of the vibes?
Well, it's obviously short term,
yeah.
But in the short term, you need to turn the culture yeah. around and then you can start over because the short term would get you, you could still have Dak on the roster. We know that Pete Carroll has done a good job of managing egos mm-hmm. of quarterbacks and still being successful.
Of everyone.
But especially the quarterback's a big yeah. one there. Like with Dak, that's a big one there. And kind of masking a lot of the issues to the public because of Pete's personality kind of taking over. But Pete Carroll may be it because then you could get out of the Dak contract.
You're also not committed to him for the long haul.
And start over with a new coach and it's understood on all sides. And you don't look like an unmitigated S show if you move on from a coach who's 76 years old. Now, if it fails spectacularly, well, yeah, then people are going to mock you. But guess what? They're going to do that anyways.
Yeah.
You're the Dallas Cowboys.
And again, the other option here is to break the smelling salt open, that is Deion Sanders, and just go for it.
It's probably what he's going to do.
I mean, I think I'm talking myself into it.
Well, you're not, just talking yourself into it because it could be your team that hires Deion.
Nah. We'll talk about that here in a little bit, too. But coming up next, a new segment. Wednesdays at 2:15. Fact or fluke? A couple things that we're looking at that either happened or could happen that we're looking at could be a fact or a fluke. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. It's time for a new segment. Wednesdays 2:15. Fact or fluke? We're going to start this thing off. This is inspired by the number of texts that I got last night from all of you Blazers fans.
Okay.
Following Scoot Henderson's performance last night. Fact or fluke that Scoot Henderson's performance is going to be the game that you look back on and say that's the night that he figured it out.
Fluke. I think there's a lot of factors that go into this thing because of the fact that that game unraveled very quickly. Scoot was able to play the, you would say, AAU style. I would say more of a selfish style of basketball. And that's where he's the most comfortable. Not every game's going to be like that. There was no structure of that game. You said it was, what, 97 offensive possessions?
97 to 96, so,
yeah. That ain't a normal NBA
nearly
game.
Nearly 200.
And that was where Scoot was feeling it. And the Brooklyn Nets suck.
They do. And, look, I hope, and I want to asterisk this. Oh. It's a fluke, but it's also the thing or part or close to the thing that I have been hoping for and asking for this season, or not for the season, in Scoot's career. Give me a game that a guy can point to where it wasn't just, yeah, like he had a productive like box score game the very last game of the regular season last year against the Houston Rockets, and even then it was like, yeah, it's still, this is pre-tank, this is still in the run of play. It's against a very bad Nets team. But I was like, hey, there you go. The shooting came around. Now, is it just him getting hot and knocking things down? Yeah. But it's better than, like, Joe Simons and I were talking off air last night after the game or after the show. And it was like, imagine if Scoot hadn't gone 8 of 10 from 3 last night.
How bad it would have gotten.
How bad that game got.
Yeah. That would have been real bad. That would have been
lost 30 plus.
That would have been a Utah Jazz 40-point loss right there.
And so, for that, thank you for not having one of those games.
Okay, I got a factor fluke for you. DeAndre Ayton has checked out.
Fact. I think it's... I was one of those guys who was on board of, like, look, if you're going to swap headaches, give me the more talented one. Let's see if I can figure it out. And there have been stretches over the past 18 months of DeAndre Ayton putting together good stretches of basketball.
Like yes.
We've seen it.
I love that we have a game show medley that's playing behind us.
We
went from Family Feud to now Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for what's next.
A little smorgasbord.
I can't wait for what's next.
The other part of this is, for me, is... You started, even just a couple weeks ago, started to see DeAndre Ayton, who was been a poor screener for most of his career, starting to screen more effectively.
Yes.
And I don't know what happened. But over the last 10 days, you've seen this from DA. And we've seen it before, and they just kind of nipped it in the bud. This is, like, the last couple games is the most you've seen it just kind of happen. I think as we get closer to what is going to happen at the All-Star break... I think they're dropping anchor, or he is dropping anchor, as it were.
I agree with that, and the fact that the way that the season is going, the way that the Blazers feel that pressure right now of, hey, wins and losses, not important. In fact, loss is probably more important from a fan perspective and organizationally. That is where you start. You can lose some guys, and the first guys to go are the guys who've done it before. And we know DeAndre Ayton has done it before.
And that's the unfortunate part of all this. There's a couple NBA ones. On the NFL side of things, this is something that's been sitting in my head ever since we knew this matchup was going to happen.
Okay.
And they have been the two teams. I should say there's three teams. The Ravens, who the Bills and the Bengals have been the bridesmaid and not the bride. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Bengals are not there this year. But you have the Bills and Ravens facing off this week in the playoffs.
Okay.
Is the team that loses that game in real trouble as far as their identity is concerned going forward.
No, I don't think their identity moving forward. This is the best game of the playoffs so far, and it may be the best damn matchup of the playoffs.
Period.
So I don't think you say our identity is in question at that point. I think for Buffalo, it would be once you get to the conference championship and you get to a Super Bowl. For Baltimore, you may question that a little bit more because, like, this is the year that you kind of are built for this. Mm-hmm. Your defense has played a lot better the last month and a half of the season and into the playoffs. So then you start going, well, we're clicking on all cylinders. We still can't get over the hub. What gives here? But I still don't think it's a knee-jerk or panic reaction on either side. But for Baltimore, also, you get a little bit more of that panic because Derrick Henry, you don't know how many more years you're going to be able to have of him producing at this level.
And you hit on that last part for me. For the Ravens have addressed their shortcomings. The Bills, although not addressing their shortcomings, they shifted some things around and how they're built and how they're financially they're made up and the focus of it, you know, being it's going away from Diggs centric. Like they've made adjustments. And this is for as much as we talk about, it's not. You can be good and you can enjoy the wins and you can enjoy the celebrations and you can enjoy the growth. Like the whole rings culture, like being the only thing that matters. When you do run up against the wall year after year after year, which would be the case with both of these, whoever loses this game, it will be the case for one of them. The eventual inability to get over the hump, I think, is a fact that you start questioning your identity and what you should or could or couldn't be.
Yeah. Buffalo's interesting, though, because this was supposed to be a rebuilding year. Like, a retooling year for them.
A reset, in a sense.
Retooling with where they were at the skills. All right, fact or fiction. The LA Rams have won 6 straight games that their starters have played in. Throughout the final week of the regular season where Sean McVay rested everybody. They won 5 straight before that Seahawks finale. They win the playoff game convincingly. Mm-hmm. Fact or fiction or fluke, this Rams team can go and beat the Eagles and play in the NFC Championship game.
I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. Fact. Fact, simply because we talk about everybody being in line, lock, stock, 2 smoking barrels, everybody knowing the mission, the alignment from top to bottom of the roster. You have that with the Rams, and you also have the universal come together moment, unfortunately, of the LA Fires, where that could be a bonding thing. It could be a thing that galvanizes that team. And what is the thing we have talked about the Eagles all season? The lack of galvanization. How, despite being split at times, it's been their overwhelming talent.
Yeah,
I think in the playoffs, I think that galvanizing factor is something that, When we do the revisionist history of every team that wins and loses, that ends up being a thing that shows more than almost anything else.
Yeah. I just have problems with Minnesota. Remember what happened to them? They lost 2 games in a row early in the regular season. They were to the Lions and the Rams. They finished their season with losses to the Lions and then the Rams in back-to-back weeks. I just can't get out of my head 314 yards rushing the first time that these two teams played in Philly, pounding the ball down LA's throat in that game. That is ingrained in my brain.
Yeah.
If you can do that, good night.
Which, Saquon Barkley, good for that.
Good story. Bye-bye. And then you add on to it, you got to go from LA to Philly. It's going to be cold. Mm-hmm. You can't simulate that. I don't know. I think it's more fluky than fact that the Rams are going to be in that NFC Championship.
Look, I want to believe. I want to see the made-for-Disney movie.
I am so with you, though, in a lot of the things that you said about the togetherness and galvanizing force and being a team that pulls in the same direction. That's really important at this time of year.
It elevates teams.
Can't stop the run. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so there you go. The first edition of Fact or Fluke.
I liked it.
Wednesdays at 2:15, something we will get to every single week. All right, coming up next, there's been some predictions about some NFL coaching hires. We'll go through what fits seem to be the best for those hires here next. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
The coaching carousel is still wide open in the NFL. In fact, the only seat that's been taken so far is the New England Patriots signing the big ham-hocked hand coach, Mike Vrabel.
Hell yeah, brother. Patriot reign's coming back. We're going to take it to the limit.
Yeah, you know, it's I was watching McAfee the other day. He said the first time he ever met him, he had like a dip on one side and like three zins on the other.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah, that tracks.
He needs the nicotine, and the tobacco.
Just
with nicotine.
With nicotine. He goes, yeah. And then he pulled out the vape pen, and I was like, yeah, this is a big old, he called him like the smartest meathead. Like, he's a complete meathead who's also a genius.
Well, that's David Schott, who just interviewed for the Bears head coaching job. He used to call it intelligent brutality.
And which is basically a football player at Stanford.
Yep, that's what he called the entire brand of football. And Shane Scove, the old linebacker, remember
him? Number 11 with the eye black, an absolute mohawk. Psychopath.
He called them intelligent meatheads at Stanford.
He looked like Latimer, but he got grayed like a Stanford student.
Yeah, it takes a very unique human being to be a high-level football player at Stanford.
Right.
It's no wonder that they usually suck, but it's incredible that Harbaugh and Shaw got them to be as good as they were for as long as
they were. And it turns out, like, the good ones that they had turned out to be really, 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 really good in the
NFL. Sure did, including Jesuit's own Owen Marisic.
There you go.
Who Harbaugh says is one of his favorite football players of all time.
I could see, I mean, fullback.
Well, running. He broke his face mask during a game. Hit a guy so hard.
Didn't he, like, collapse it in?
No, it just kind of, like, bent. Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's a Harbaugh guy.
He was a Mike Alstott acolyte.
And then he played linebacker for him, too.
He grew up watching those.
Yeah.
That era of football, for sure. But there are a bunch of openings open still. And I just want to go through these real quick. You've got Chicago, Dallas, Jacksonville, Las Vegas, New Orleans, and New York. That is six openings. What are the best fits for those franchises going forward? Start with the Chicago Bears.
I do believe it is Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, because you need an offensive mind where you're going to get buy-in on that side of the ball. Defensive coordinator hire is going to be wildly important. They fell off a cliff when Matt Eberflus was fired. You saw that the defense really did change. But I think you need an offensive mind. That's where you are going to thrive. It's what Chicago needs desperately. Chicago has not been good offensively in decades.
Ever. You say ever.
They are the most needy of an offensive mind, and Ben Johnson right now is the sharpest one in the cycle.
I agree with your last point. I don't think they should go for Johnson as the head coach just because of the S show that they are. And I think they need somebody with head coaching experience that knows how to run a professional organization. And it's actually a name you just brought up. I think David Shaw makes the most sense there. As weird as that sounds. I know.
I think it's really bad with Kevin Warren and his influence that he has on the organization. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a Kevin Warren guy, and he's the president. He was the commissioner of the Big Ten and then stepped away. Shaw's really smart, but...
But he's also a culture guy.
And he's not really... He's offensive background. He's not that guy, though.
I get what you're saying, and I agree. I just...
And stylistically, that's not the style you want to play, the Stanford style with Caleb Williams.
No, but I don't know if that's the best job for Ben Johnson because of all of the reasons you just laid out. Like, all the things he has to do. Like, I feel like you don't want a retread coach, which I don't think Shaw is a retread coach. He's not an NFL head coach. He's a college coach, and he's worked as an analyst and support staff and all those other things. But he knows how to run the structure stuff. And I think they need the structure, culture stuff. Not even the culture, because the culture of the Chicago Bears has always been the culture. Just like the Steelers, like it's defense first, blue collar, all that kind of stuff. But you need to have like
the level head.
Yeah, and the lack of leadership at the top. And that's the thing, is like, I don't know what Ben Johnson is as a leader.
Yeah.
And I'm going to completely go against this pick here in a minute for a very specific reason. But I think Shaw is the guy that I because of their particular brand of dysfunction.
Yeah.
Is where I would
could
go.
See it. Yeah.
Dallas. What is the best potential fit?
We already talked about this. I oddly think that it is Pete Carroll, because you need a new culture to be instituted. You need somebody that can handle the level of crazy that is Jerry Jones. You need to be able to somebody that can get through to Dak Prescott, and but also be able to stay away from Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
And let Dak do his thing. I think that was one of the big issues with Mike McCarthy, is that, yeah, he's also your play caller and he's your head coach. Pete Carroll won't be that guy. Yeah. I don't think that there's necessarily a great option here, but I think it's Pete.
There's two options.
It's weird to say 74-year-old,
though. The vibes reset with Pete, or the roller coaster of emotion, just crack it open, road soda. Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Like, those are your two options. I don't think there's another viable option.
Well, and I think the two guys that you have brought up on these two jobs are probably the ones that make the most sense, because nobody wants either of these jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth.
Because of their particular brands of dysfunction.
Everything that it's being said about, you know, Ben Johnson, is that he doesn't want anything to do with that S show right now.
Mm-hmm.
That was a job he wanted last year. Yeah. Now you see McCaskey and George McCaskey say you don't need to be aligned between your head coach and your GM.
And you're like,
exactly what got the Lions to turn around
and have the Rams where they are right now.
Yeah, it's every successful organization, but Ben Johnson has seen it front and center with Detroit.
What it looks like. This is an interesting one. Jacksonville Jaguars. They're not bereft of assets. They're not. Their books aren't cooked. They're not up. They're like, we talked about this.
It's
gonna
be bad. I don't think it matters.
Oh, God.
I don't.
Go on.
Because they're going to find a way to screw it up. Like, that's what Jacksonville does.
Mm.
Like, you're going to get an offensive mind. I know that Ben Johnson is now, I think he had the best odds the last time we talked about this to get that job betting-wise. But it's like, you want to talk about a cursed franchise.
Yeah.
We need to start talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars and that. I don't really think it matters. We've talked about how they actually do draft pretty well.
And they care. Like, Shad Khan cares.
He cares, but in all of the wrong ways. And it never lands.
Like, you know, talking about in a Zoom call about how he would fire his GM who's on the call if his coach wanted him to do it.
Uh-huh.
And presented a good enough reason.
Yeah. Like, and that's why I go, I don't know. And so it's weird to think that, like, it doesn't really matter.
That's nasty. I get it.
Organizer is what they need.
I think you're looking at like a Todd Monken. That's what I think you're looking at.
The Ravens offensive coordinator with no head coaching experience.
Uh-huh. I don't think they're getting a previous head coach.
Yeah, sure.
Because of like the whole
that'll
like,
be fine.
You're not,
or you're going to get a previous head coach who's
retread,
just a total retread. But I don't know. Sure. But I don't know.
It'll be an uninspired hire.
Yeah, it will be.
An organizer, like a trapper keeper?
There you go.
Sure. Yeah, trapper keeper. Get him.
I mean,
get the trapper beef jerky guy. He can be the head coach.
They're doing well these days. So.
Yeah.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, boy. You need an offensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
But do you? You don't have a quarterback.
No.
You don't really have much outside of Brock Bowers offensively.
An offensive lineman?
I mean,
Colt Miller, that's literally
it. Does it matter? Does it matter if it's offensive or defensive guy? Who is your head coach?
Yes.
For what reason?
Because of where the NFL is at. How many head coaches are defensive minded?
There's a handful, but
I'm saying the frequency of it working, and it's like I like Aaron Glenn, mm-hmm. I really do, and
that's
who
I think might be the best guy.
I think I could talk myself into him.
Defensive
pretty quickly,
coordinator for the Lions,
but I'm going the other side of that and going with the offensive coordinator for the Lions and Ben Johnson.
And I would say that if you had a quarterback, an offensive guy would make sense. If you had more than just a Brock Bowers, it would make more sense. Mm-hmm. If you had Josh Jacobs or Devontae Adams and you had Brock Bowers, that would make sense.
Got to hit home run in the draft.
With offense and knowing the shelf life. So you're going to go through this year. Not a deep quarterback draft.
No.
So you're probably not going to get your quarterback of the future this year.
Hello, Sam Darnold.
So you're going to have a first-year head coach who's an offensive mind without the quarterback of the future. Mm-hmm. That's tough. And that's why I say offensive guy probably not it right now. There's a lot of holes that Raiders team needs to fill.
Yeah, I mean, almost all of them. But I this the path that I want them to go down is
I feel so bad for you because
it's so tough. It's so tough.
You're trying to find the words right now, and it sucks.
And dude, it's like, well, there's so many things that I want to say that I can't say, and it's just, you
why
know,
can't you say them?
Because the FCC won't let me say it.
Oh, okay. All right. Tom Brady will coach. Yeah. I think Aaron Glenn would be a good one because he's a really bright mind. He'll get through to players, but he won't be the Antonio Pierce rah-rah type.
They need a culture, yeah. And the culture of the NFL right now is offensive-minded. And
yep.
I'm not talking about putting up 50 points. I'm talking about the complimentary football that the Rams play.
Yeah.
The Lions play. And I think that's, yes, he's the new wonder kid. And I'm not looking for the Mike McDaniel of it all. Yeah. I'm looking for the next McVay. That's what I'm looking for. And I think that Ben Johnson could profile as that guy. And that's what I keep talking myself into.
Yeah, sure.
So,
yeah.
The New Orleans Saints.
Oh, boy. Mike McCarthy. I honestly believe it.
Retread City?
Well, yeah, you're not in a good salary cap situation. He's a really good coach. You have a quarterback that's aging, hurt, but you can squint and you could say, Mike McCarthy could do something there. It's not a job that a young, hot coach is going to want to take because of where the salary cap is and the fact you don't have a quarterback right now. So I think Mike McCarthy.
I'm going to go with Aaron Glenn. I think that makes sense for him. He
wants that Jets job.
He's got ties to both organizations.
He wants that Jets job.
Both organizations. Yeah. And I think you could talk me into him being, honestly, I think Aaron Glenn should and will end up as a head coach in the cycle, and I think he's going to be a good head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's going to end up on one of these two teams, the Saints or the Jets, because of his ties to both those teams. But I think you're going to end up looking at a defensive-minded coach. And then of the Jets, you going with Aaron Glenn there?
No.
No, oh, okay.
No, I went with Aaron Glenn in Vegas. I think Drew Petzig would be good there. If you're going to hang on one more year to Aaron Rodgers, have an offensive guy that can kind of come in, mix some stuff in, and then you have a young play caller that's sitting there, it's not an attractive job. You're not going to get top-end guys, so I'm going to go Petzig.
Brian Flores has got a mark on his record. He's suing the NFL, but I think he gets a head coaching gig, and he could do worse than the personnel that the Jets have on that side of the ball. Just going to go with that. All right. That's it. Those were our coaching hires, our coaching predictions, all of the fun things real quick. And we're going to end up today's show with something very, very stupid and give you a little bit of fear before we get out of here. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
It's time for a Blazers report on the Fan. The inside story on the Portland Trail Blazers. Brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria.
The Portland Trailblazers lose in the great suck-off of 2025 to the Brooklyn Nets, an 18-point deficit. But you saw Scoot Henderson hit a career-high 39 points on 8 of 10 from the three-point line. Lost in all of this is Chumani Kamara, also set a career-high at 23 points. DeAndre Ayton felt like he set a career-low with 2 points and 8 rebounds in 22 minutes. Donovan Clingan left the game with an ankle injury. There has not been an update on his status as of yet. I believe he was slated to get imaging today to see where he will end up. Trailblazers have another couple games here at home before they head off on a 3-game road trip and then finish off with 7 home games before the All-Star break. This Trailblazers Point on the Fan is brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria, the best place to go before and after games or any event. Check them out on the corner of Southeast 15th and Broadway or at AztecWillies.com. As we get going, just wanted to put this one out there just because I want to add to your fear index.
Oh.
Crocodiles in Indonesia have allegedly learned to pretend to be drowning humans in order to lure people to the water so they can eat them.
Oh,
they put their hands up out of the water, like all 5 fingers spread like a human, but that's all they show. And so like, oh my God, there's a person drowning over there. And you go in the water and go, num, 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 num.
Nope.
It's the animal uprising.
It's another reason why I'm not going to go to Indonesia.
Don't bring your drugs there either. They'll kill you.
Well, there's another one.
They have death penalty for drugs there.
Yeah, they do.
They do not
That's
mess around.
That's terrifying,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
Because
like, even the alligators have AI now.
Yeah, that... I don't know. I don't know if I believe that. golly. If they're that aware, we're all doomed.
Sentient.
Humans getting dumber, animals getting smarter. This is how the world ends, guys. This is how the world ends.
Next up, it's Planet of the Apes.
Mm. Oh, boy. All right.
Damn dirty apes.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, that does it for us on this Wednesday.
Mm.
We'll be back tomorrow, though.
We
it's
will.
A Thursday show. We'll be here from noon to 3. And we got to start talking divisional round weekend.
Mm-hmm. And some college football.
College football playoff.
Oh,
let's go.
Dang,
and then we got NBA. Got a little doozy of a game tonight. We got a good little game.
Yeah,
Memphis,
we do.
San Antonio.
Memphis, San Antonio. If you want some good basketball and some good styles, that's what I'm watching tonight.
Yeah, surely they're going to put that on. Nope, they're not putting that on national TV.
Yeah, don't call me Shirley.
No. All right. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's primetime with Isaac and Soup right here on The Fan.
Bye.